Good afternoon and welcome to the back to the Van Genuchten Symposium for our fifth session. Our first talk at 1:15, if you were here earlier, you know, was canceled. So we're going to have five talks this afternoon. We're going to have to stay on time a little better than we have been because we have a session coming up behind us. So we can't run too late. So we better get started. Our first speaker is Scott Bradford from the U.S. Salinity Lab.
Hello, everyone. Today I would like to talk to you a little bit about some perspectives on modeling colloid transport and retention in porous media. And I especially want to focus on insight that I gained to tackle this problem from Reem Van Genuchten. And one of the things that you'll notice here there are a lot of co-authors on this presentation. And I just want to point out that all of these co-authors I met because of Reem. And so I think that's an interesting point. Now, Reem has actually had a very big impact on my career. And I just want to take a second, I hope you don't mind, but just to let you know that he has had a huge impact on my career. He's my official PH advisor, put me in contact with Fikele, who I worked closely with during that. He helped line me up with my first postdoc position with Dr. Linda Abriola, who was a colleague of his when he was at Princeton. And he helped me obtain my current job at the Salinity Lab. And you can see here the wonderful picture of Reem. Do you ever notice that there is a family resemblance between Reem and Einstein? But also, I just want to say that Reem is a very humble person and a real down-to-earth person. I really appreciate that and admire him for that. And he has actually laid out a modeling framework to tackle many challenges. And he focused primarily on solute transport, but these same models can be applied to other problems. And so today I'll be talking about how we've applied some of these models to look at colloid transport. So the traditional colloid transport and fate model is based on the advective dispersion equation with first-order kinetic deposition and release terms. And filtration theory is commonly used to predict the deposition term. Now, when I started doing this colloid transfer work around 10 years ago, we looked at a variety of grain sizes and colloid sizes, and we did some transport experiments. And then we looked at using the conventional attachment-detachment theory to simulate this. And we noticed that we could do a good job of fitting to the breakthrough curves, but it did a much poorer job of describing the retention profiles. And so we needed to think about this a little bit more. And so this motivated us to look at this from a pore scale perspective. And so there's a lot of potential advantages of understanding processes at the pore scale. And you can actually simulate fluid flow, mass transfer, and interactions in porous media at the pore scale. And you can try to upscale that information to make meaningful predictions at larger scales. So one of the first things that we did is we did some micromodel experiments where we had a small glass cell that we filled with different types of quartz sand, and then we did a transport experiment, and this glass cell actually sat on the top of a microscope so we could visualize where the retention was occurring. And we did this for a variety of latex colloids of different size, and then we looked at a pathogenic bacteria as well. And we noticed that from these studies that at least under highly unfavorable chemical conditions for retention, that the retention was dominated at grain-to-grain contact locations. And so we began wondering, well, how is this going to affect the deposition profile of these colloids? And how does the velocity of the fluid influence this type of behavior as well? So we did some additional theoretical work to actually look at the pore scale fluid flow and the forces and torques that act on colloids near the solid surface. And what I show here on the far left-hand side is just one simulation we did of looking at the pore scale fluid flow, and we noticed that near grain-to-grain contacts, you can have formation of eddy zones. And so this is kind of like an immobile region. And we didn't anticipate that initially, but we found that out. And then if we looked at kind of ensemble of different grains in a two-dimensional cross-section, and we solve the fluid flow, and then we determine what the velocity is right next to the solid surface. And based on the velocity, you can also determine the adhesive force that acts on these colloidal particles, and you can do a torque balance based on the applied hydrodynamic torque and the resisting adhesive torque. And by doing this torque balance, you can see regions that are chemically and hydrodynamically favorable for retention of colloidal particles. And that's shown here in the red. Now, you can get additional complications when you have things like chemical heterogeneity and surface roughness here that will affect the distribution. But the idea of low velocity regions providing enhanced locations for colloid retention is a significant finding. And this has important implications for how we're going to attempt to model colloid transport and fate. And so a variety of modeling approaches that we've looked at, we'll talk briefly about today. And if you need additional information, you're welcome to talk to me later, and I can give you some reprints on these different topics. But the first one we considered was a physical and chemical non-equilibrium situation. And so what I show here on the far left-hand side are the governing equations for the system. But it might be easier just to look at the little conceptual picture you see on the far right-hand side. You see that we divide the solid phase into two regions, one that's associated with a high-velocity region, and regions of the solid phase which we consider to be immobile. And you can have different rates of exchange in both of these regions on the solid phase. And you can have potentially mass transfer on the solid phase or on the liquid phase. So the mass transfer on the solid phase is because of the hydrodynamic forces can cause the colloids to roll on the surface to these low velocity regions. So just quickly, we'll show you some results from a sensitivity analysis where we looked at omega, which refers to the exchange between the mobile and immobile phase, and this is primarily diffusion controlled. We also assumed that in the low velocity regions, you have a much higher retention rate than in the high velocity regions. And what you can see here is that there is a high sensitivity to both the breakthrough curves and to the shape of the retained colloids with depth in the system that depends on this omega term. And this was when we just assume a very small fraction of the porous media consists of this immobile phase. So that's a realistic assumption. Now, next we wanted to look at the sensitivity of a solid phase mass transfer of colloids. And in order to achieve a sensitivity to the solid phase mass transfer, you have to assume first a high rate of deposition in the high velocity region or high K1 value, and then a high detachment rate. So you have a flux coming to the solid, a flux leaving the solid, and then a flux that's moving on the solid to these low velocity regions. And once again, we start seeing a high sensitivity to this mass transfer coefficient as well. But you notice that the shape of these profiles doesn't quite accurately capture what we observed experimentally. So we decided to look at this from an even more complicated perspective. And so we looked at it from a dual permeability perspective. Now, typically, dual permeability models, as many of you are aware, are used to look at preferential flow. And so in that case, you're dividing the pore space, once again, into a high-velocity region and a low-velocity region. But the high-velocity region is only a small fraction of your total matrix. And when we're doing this with colloid transport, we're looking at just from the opposite perspective. We're considering that most of the matrix has a higher velocity, and then a small fraction of the matrix is, you know, low velocity, where you have a small advective flux. So it's similar to the mobile-immobile model, but it also includes a term for advective interaction as well. And you can start developing theory to try to actually make physically meaningful predictions of these model parameters. And what you see here is the top equation is a parameterized form of the capillary pressure curve using the Van Gennuten equation. And this gamma here is now the fraction of the pore space that is smaller than a given radius R. Okay, so that's how we parameterize that. And then you can see here from a variety of different soil textures that are parameterized by this model that you can have quite a large fraction of the pore space that will be smaller than sizes that are relevant to colloidal size particles. And so what we see here is for 0.1 micron, 2 micron, and 6 micron, the different sizes. Now, you can now try to incorporate pore scale processes in here. If we use a capillary tube analogy, we know the velocity distribution in a capillary tube. And so based on this, in a given size capillary tube and a given size adhesive torque or due to chemical interactions, you can determine the fraction of the pore space that will contribute to retention. And just to show you some sensitivity analysis, for just a very small fraction of your water flux that goes to these low velocity regions, it doesn't have much of an effect on the breakthrough curve, but it has a big effect on the shape of the retention profiles. And you can use this to optimize to experimental data, and it gives a very good fit of the experimental data. Now, another interesting thing that we looked at is, now, what happens if you change the total flux? That's shown right here. But you keep the same flux going to these low velocity regions. Well, if you do that, you get a sensitivity to the breakthrough curve, but you also get very different shapes of the retention profiles. At the higher of flux through your system, you get you actually get something that looks more uniform with depth than at a very low velocity. And we've actually observed this experimentally when we've done different column experiments. Todd, 1 minute?
Yeah, one minute.
Okay. I'll just quickly mention that we're also trying to look at this from a stochastic stream tube perspective. Probably don't have time to go into this, but basically you have probability density functions for a deposition coefficient and the pore water velocity, and you use a joint probability density function to look at this, and you can look at interactions between velocity and pore water velocity, and if you have a inverse correlation with velocity and pore water velocity, you get this type of curve, whereas if you have a positive correlation, it's more uniform with depth. So just in summary, colloid transport and fate is a complex process. It depends on solution chemistry, hydrodynamics, and the size of the colloid and the porous media. And to develop predictive models, we really need to incorporate pore scale information, at least at the column scale anyway. And of course, there's additional challenges to go to larger scales as well. And I just want to acknowledge Reen's hand in the development of many of these models. And I'll take any questions if we have time.
Maybe one quick question while our next speaker makes his way down. Anyone have a quick one? No? Okay, thank you, Scott.